Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Before we get into the Word, if you don't know who I am, my name is Josh Kelly. I'm the Great Neck campus pastor here at Wave Church. I help oversee our youth and young adults. Pastor Steve just made an exciting announcement in the life of our church. Luke and Katie, can you guys stand up really quick just so everybody can see how these amazing people. Anybody love Luke and Katie? Have served so faithfully in leading Royal Youth. I've been our youth pastor for the last couple of years. And last week, Pastor Steve announced that they are now our new young adult pastors here at Wave Church. Come on, let's give it up for Luke and Katie. I'm excited. This next season of what God is going to do. Luke is also going to be our community group pastor. And if you were unaware, community groups is not something we do as a church because it's cool to post about. We do it because we really believe and we know that God designed for us to be in community. We need each other. I have a CG that meets on Friday mornings at 7 a.m. One of my least favorite verses in the Bible is Jesus woke up early to pray. How many friends in the house? Like, God, why couldn't you just pray at nighttime? Like, why'd you have to wake up early? I'm working on it, but there's some amazing guys that meet at 7 a.m. We pray. We've been praying for this night. What I do know is that there is no substitute for the presence of God. We just went on Friday to visit our Royal Youth Summer Camp. Caleb Cox is our new youth pastor, by the way. I don't know where Caleb is. Are you in here somewhere right there? And I tell you what. Man, I was reminded. It was pretty amazing seeing almost 300 young people just at camp, just seeking God. And we saw, I think it was over 40 young people got water baptized. Over almost 150 young people got filled with the Holy Spirit. God is doing something in our church. I was reminded, you know, it's funny we do summer camps for middle schoolers and high schoolers. I was reminded Friday, man, we never don't stop needing summer camp. The presence of God, and I really... really praying tonight that we're going to seek God. The good news is that he's here. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Can I read some Bible? Is that okay? Yes, is that okay? Yes, I want to let you know, this is Wave Church, and this is a two-way conversation. And what we're not going to do is just be awkward and quiet, but we're going to have some fun. So if you like what you hear, you can let me know. Is that okay? Yes. If you don't like what you hear, just let me know in a positive way. Is that okay? Luke 7:9 says this. Worship team, thank you. If you could just stay with me on the keys until I pray, that'd be awesome. How many people love our worship team? You know what I love? You know what I love? Is Davey, Kylie, Jacob Porter, the Baker brothers, Maddie, Zach Stein were at camp all week. They played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, played this morning in church, and they're playing here tonight. Come on, give it up for these amazing. I love that. A whole team. Thank you, guys. If you could just stay with me on the keys until we pray, I'd appreciate that. I've stopped preaching with keys behind me because a Special Forces commander who was overseas serving our nation asked me to stop playing with keys behind me because it was annoying through the stream. And when a Special Forces commander asks you to do something, you listen. Anybody thankful for our military tonight? Luke 7:9 says this. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Somebody say amazed. Come on, say it like you were amazed. Say amazed. Jesus was talking to a centurion. And centurion asked Jesus to heal one of his employees. Centurion told Jesus, you don't need to come, you can just say the word. The verse then says, turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, Jesus says this. It says, Jesus was amazed, and then he says this, I tell you, I haven't seen faith, I haven't seen honor like this in all of Israel. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, we see this in a different light. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth. Jesus is going to his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Somebody say amazed. They were amazed. They grew up with Jesus. They played Fortnite with Jesus. They traded lunches with Jesus. They went to school with Jesus. And now Jesus has come back, and they knew Jesus in the sense of being fully man. But here Jesus is as fully man and fully God. And so they are amazed. Somebody say amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Look how this changes in a moment. Verse 3, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. How many times have I said it's just a church service? It's just the word of God. It's just his presence. It's just the sixth service. It's just leaders meeting. It's just Wave Conference. It's just community group. It's just these people grew up with Jesus. He's just a carpenter. The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, his sisters live right here among us. They're trying to bring Jesus down to their level. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. They lost their amazement in two sentences. Verse 4, then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, because of their lack of honor, watch this, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Watch this, verse 6, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of honor. If you're taking notes tonight, the title of my message, this is kind of like the word that I live by, wow. It's the title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. Turn to your other neighbor and say, have you lost your wow? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for what you're doing in our church, what you're doing in the six, our young adult ministry. I get that we meet here and it's awesome, but we're here because there's hundreds of thousands of young adults in our city who don't yet know you. I pray tonight that we would leave different, we would leave changed, not because of just what I said, but because of your presence that is here. God, we're hungry, we're expectant, we've got passion, we wanna hear from you, we wanna meet with you. God, without your presence tonight would almost be a waste of time, but I thank you that you're here. And I thank you that there's people in this room, they don't know you. And tonight they're gonna have the honor, the opportunity to meet you face to face, be forgiven of our sins, experience your grace, your love, your mercy. And God, I pray for the New York Jets. God, I just pray for a miracle. And everybody said, wow. I have pet peeves in my life. Anybody have pet peeves? Like, I don't have a lot, but the pet peeves I do have, I mean, there's some pet peeves. Anybody got a lot of pet peeves? Four people. I thought I'd maybe share some pet peeves with you tonight. I'll just start general. When somebody drives slow in the fast lane. You're a psychopath. This is a pet peeve I found out recently that I have in my life, is when I go to a restaurant and they have a valet service, but the parking lot's empty. Have you experienced that? And I can't park the car myself in the 47 open spots by the front door because nobody else is there. And I got to pay you to park my car 10 feet into the parking spot. And I don't carry, anybody carry cash anymore? Like, can you tip in Venmo, please? I hope this hits home for some people and the pain that I've experienced of what I'm about to share with you. This pet peeve of mine, when I drive into a McDonald's drive-through, and on the way there, I have been planning and thinking of how fast I'm going to eat that McFlurry. And the person on the other side of the speaker box has the audacity to tell me every single time the ice cream machine is down. It's never been working. Come on, Ronald McDonald. Pet peeve I have. Again, this is something I recently found. And a lot of people raised their hand, said they were parents, so I know you're going to relate to me, is when somebody with no kids tells me they're tired. You don't know tired! This year, I'm not gonna call him out, but he's sitting right here, his name's Tyler Jones, had the audacity to yawn before church and complain about how he was tired. I said, oh, why? Enlighten me. He said, Josh, I had to stay up a little later and I had to study, I had to read a book. I said, Tyler, that night before, Liv didn't really sleep. And I know Brooke is thinking right now, Josh, you didn't wake up and deal with Liv, but stay with me for the sake of the illustration. I said, Tyler, when you went to bed and closed your book, did your book come alive and start crying at 2 o'clock in the morning? Did you have to hold that book until it stopped crying and try to put it back down in the little bed? And if you didn't do it perfectly, it woke up again. Get out of here. When Postmates delivers my food to the wrong house, for whatever reason, it happens to me often. I called the lady one time and said, hey, it's not here. She said, well, I dropped it off at this house. I said, that's weird. That's not the address that I put in the app. I said, can you go get it? She said, no, I already left. Too far. I said, I literally just called you. Did you get on a jet and fly to Asia? Like, can you not come back and get my food? Another pet peeve I have is when I give you a gift, if I give you a gift and your response doesn't match the awesomeness of the gift. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I give you an awesome gift, I need an awesome response. Is it just me? If I see a movie that I think is awesome and you see that movie with me, Jared's laughing because this has happened. And I know the movie's awesome because I watched it right next to you, Jared. And I ask you, dude, how awesome was that? And you say, oh, it was whatever. It's a pet peeve of mine. See, I have this problem, and it's not really a problem, but it can be sometimes maybe, is I tend to get excited about almost everything. When I text, I have to use exclamation marks for every sentence. I've tried to use just a normal dot, period, declarative statement, but I can't. I need to use an exclamation mark because if I don't use that, in my mind, if I say, hey man, let's hang out tonight, it literally sounds like, hey man, let's hang out tonight. I have to use an exclamation, dude, let's hang out tonight. And if, are you like me where the more sentences you do, the more exclamation marks you need it? So maybe my biggest pet peeve then is when I go somewhere that I'm excited about and you come with me and you don't share in the level of excitement that I have. I went to a frozen yogurt shop this year with somebody who wasn't excited to get frozen yogurt. Why did you come with me? You're not gonna dishonor this establishment of frozen yogurt and not get anything. I experienced this recently this year where I went on a trip that was one of the most exciting trips of my life that I was excited about, that I got to share that excitement with the group of people that I went with. It was awesome. I get a call from Sam Kelly, my little brother. Anybody know Sam? Four of us, okay. And I get a call from him and he's so excited to tell me that his brother-in-law, EJ, won tickets to the Masters Golf Tournament. That may mean nothing to you, but it means everything to me. Because he was excited, I'm thinking he's going to tell me they won 4 tickets that I'm going to go on the trip with him. Said, no, Josh, I'm going with 3 other guys from Fellowship Church in Dallas. Says, Sam, I hate you. Then I get a call because they reached out to their friend that lived in Augusta to stay at their house, and that friend had 2 extra tickets. So then I get a call from Excitement Sam telling me that I am now going on this trip to Augusta. Again, I know this may mean nothing to you, but stay with me because I've been as excited like when I got married and when I had a baby, but this was right there. We went on this trip and one of the guys who was supposed to go on the trip from Texas, his wife unfortunately got sick. Now that's a bummer, but God works good in all things. Amen. And we're not gonna say that we're glad that his wife got sick, but if there's ever a time for her to get sick, and so he had to stay home, so Luke got to come. So we're going on this trip, and you don't understand. You see, you're gonna think that I'm like hyping this up as I share this story. No, this trip was amazing. I was so excited for this trip. We're going to Augusta National. And we stayed at this guy's house who ended up forgetting to tell his mom that we were coming. So she looked surprised when we showed up at her house, but we didn't care. And so we slept on air mattresses. Passion isn't picky. I've never been so excited to sleep on an air mattress in my entire life. We woke up at 5:30 a.m. to go to Augusta National, to go to the Masters Tournament. We got there early so we could stand out before and get in first with everybody else. And everybody in that group that got there early is excited to go too. I'm surrounded by people who are just as excited as me. We walk in. It was holy ground. You can't take your phone. I've never been so excited to not have my phone. We walk in, we go through security. Instantly goosebumps, man. God is just there. I don't know how to explain it. We were told to go to the gift shop first. Dave Ramsey would be ashamed of how I use my credit card in that gift shop. We walked in. And it's like walking into Disney. I didn't know what to do. When I was a kid, I used to go to KB Toys. I get so excited, I have to go to the bathroom. It happened again. It's a 28-year-old man. There's just stuff everywhere. And then we walk out to where the course was. And the grass is perfect. Like, do we take up our shoes? Or can we honor this ground? We are soaking in this moment, this excitement. And everybody there is just pumped to be there. I mean, we want a raffle to be there. There's a part of the course that's literally called Amen Corner. It's my corner. Can I get an amen? The food, I mean, we knew about the food that was there. If you know about the Masters, you know that there's a pimento cheese sandwich. I don't even like pimento cheese, but I ate it because we're there. I have kept the wrappers from the sandwiches. They're still in my garage. The ice cream peach sandwich. I had four of them. Can I get an amen? I'm so excited. I need to take a sip of water. I need to hurry up. Everybody's pumped to be there, and then I overhear this discussion of these gentlemen, and their tone of their voice didn't match mine. I'm thinking, that's interesting. That sounds like complaining. And we're literally, I mean, people say they don't know where the Garden of Eden is. I'm convinced that's where it is. They're complaining about the weather, complaining about where their seats were. And then I overheard how they were talking about how this was their 14th or 15th year. And I wanted to stand up and rebuke them. How could you lose appreciation for how amazing this place is? How could you get used to being here? And as I'm sitting at Amen Corner, the Holy Spirit tugged to my heart and reminded me, Josh, this is a golf course. How often have you lost your awe and wonder for who Jesus is in your life? How often have you so easily lost your passion for the church? This wow that you once had, I thought to myself, how is it as Christians that we so easily and could so quickly in two sentences, the passion, the amazement, the wow that we had for Jesus and his church, how is it that we can lose it? How is it that we can lose it so quickly? I want to suggest to you and I tonight, the problem is not the church. The church hasn't become less amazing. Know that for a fact here. The problem is not the preaching. The problem is not God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The problem is not the translation of your Bible. The problem is not the worship. I want to suggest to you and I tonight, the problem, the issue is dishonor. That we have allowed as Christians dishonor to begin to creep into areas of our lives. I want to define it like this. Dishonor is treating something that should be special as normal. Devaluing and bringing something to a lower level. I like to put it like this, becoming over familiar. Getting to the place where we're indifferent. Another translation says in that verse we read earlier, it said they became indifferent with Jesus. This is exactly what we find here in Mark chapter 6. I'm gonna read it again. Right before this, they were amazed, and then it changed. Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?
Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter." The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. A couple of things that we learn from this. Number one is Jesus has a pet peeve, and it's dishonor. Number two, Jesus' hometown people show you and I that the longer we are around something, the greater the risk of devaluing it. You ever got a new car? I've done this. And you're like, this is the car that I'm gonna keep clean like it is right now. Somebody puts trash in your car, it's like, get that out of here. And if you're like me, it's in a matter of days where you're okay if Starbucks cups start hanging out in your truck and trash is on the floor. The longer that you have something, the greater we are at risk of becoming overfamiliar with it. Number three, we learn this. This is important tonight. Dishonor limits the power of God. Where there is dishonor, Jesus can't move and he won't move. The Bible tells us in this verse where Jesus goes to his hometown, they are overfamiliar, they are indifferent with him. There's a lack of honor. It says that he was unable to do anything there except for a few miracles. These people grew up with Jesus. They were familiar with him. The problem is they became overfamiliar with him. I mean, can you imagine? They are face to face with the Son of God. They are experiencing for the first time Jesus is fully man and fully God. The Son of God in the flesh is standing before them. He has the power to change, to rescue, to save, to heal. And they miss out because they have become overfamiliar with who Jesus is. See, here's the thing. The enemy knows this. The enemy knows this. So if he can't get us to turn away from God, he will do everything he can for us to begin to become overfamiliar with his church, with his presence, and before long we get to the place where we become indifferent. And the enemy knows, as we become overfamiliar, Jesus cannot move in your life. I would say a question worth asking tonight is, where am I limiting the power of God in my life? What have I become overfamiliar with? Where have I become indifferent? Where am I treating something as special as something that is normal? Maybe the reason you aren't seeing God move in the way that you wish that he would, the way that his word says that he will, isn't because of him, but maybe because you have become overfamiliar with his church, with his presence, with his word. We'll get even more practical. Have you become overfamiliar with your spouse? Have you become overfamiliar with your job that you prayed for? Have you become overfamiliar that the blessing that you prayed for, but now seems like a burden? Have you become overfamiliar with the kids, with the honor it is to be a parent, to raise a young champion and a young legend and a young world changer? Have you become overfamiliar with your education that others around the world would die to have? Have you become overfamiliar with the friends that God has put in your life? Here's what I've found is dishonor is a thief and it steals your passion. Where there is no honor, there is no passion. You are looking at somebody tonight who has had to fight at times to keep my passion, to get back my wow. I'll never forget years ago when we had Soul Central Life. Anybody remember the Soul Central Life days? Back then I was at ODU, I was interning at church and I used to drive a bus to ODU and bring it back like many other leaders did. It was a long day for me on a Wednesday back then, wake up for a pastor's breakfast at 7:30. I would go to ODU to school, come back and intern, and then get the bus ready, leave, drive to ODU, bring students back, and take them back to ODU. We'd get back around midnight. There was a time where I was so excited to drive that bus. I couldn't believe that I got to be a leader of a community group at ODU, and I found myself one night at the almost at the end of that day before I was gonna get the bus ready, and I had become so overfamiliar. I was so frustrated. I said, God, I don't even wanna drive this bus. And I took my sorry self up to the third tier behind you. It's my prayer spot. You can't take it, so don't go there. And I stood before God honestly. I said, God, I've lost my passion. I said, I got about 20 minutes before I get on this bus, and I'm not leaving until I get my passion back, until I get my wow back, until I understand and I'm a reminder of what an honor it is to be even able to intern at this amazing church, that we have a young adult service, that I can drive a bus, that they would trust me to drive a bus, to pick up students from a school and bring them to a service where they can counter the presence of Jesus. I get back at midnight. The least that I could do is get back at midnight. I wonder tonight, where is your passion? Do you still come to church? Do you still come to church with the wow that you once had? Do you still have the wow and the awe and the wonder for the salvation and the grace of who Jesus is? Friend, do you still have your wow? Are you still in awe and in wonder of the presence of God when you worship? Do you worship like you used to? The preaching of the word. Are you still in awe, in wonder? Do you still have your wow for what Jesus has done in your life? Friend, do you still have your passion? Where is your passion? Are you as passionate as the day when you first encountered his presence? So when we lose our passion, the enemy has us right where he wants us. I've found the enemy is keyed in on trying to steal our passion from certain areas. The enemy, I'm talking about the devil. Certain areas of our lives. I want to focus on one tonight. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me get away from this one in particular. You still with me? If you are, turn to your neighbor and say, wow. There's a verse in the Bible that gives away the kryptonite of the enemy. The enemy that's already defeated, but it gives away his kryptonite. It's an area, because the enemy knows that the secret is out, that he will do everything he can to steal your passion from this very thing. Revelation 12 verse 11 says this, and they overcame him, it's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, it's Jesus, and the word of their testimony. Yeah. Yeah. If there is anything the devil wants you to become over familiar with, it's Jesus, it's his church. Now watch this, it's your story. Yeah. When was the last time? Think about this, when was the last time that you shared your story? When was the last time that you shared with somebody who does not come to church what Jesus has done in your life? One of the greatest tools that we have. Sharing your story. Have you ever noticed that you can't be passionate about something that you are indifferent with? I went to the Spy Museum in DC a couple years ago. It's not that great. I didn't love it, didn't hate it. It was just eh. So if you were to ask me my thoughts on the Spy Museum, I am never gonna respond to you passionately about something that was just whatever. Think about that. I'm never gonna say, dude, the Spy Museum, I mean, it's whatever. Like, you could go or you could not go. It's up to you. I don't know if it'll be worth it. Never. But you ask me about something that I'm not indifferent about. You ask me about how much I love my wife. There's passion. My daughter, there's passion. If you asked me when I came back from the Masters Golf Tournament, how was it? I would, and I'm not exaggerating, sit you down and make sure you had time for me to articulate how amazing this golf course really is. You can't give me 2 minutes. I will never be able to do justice how amazing this place is. Friend, do you tell your story with passion? Have you become over familiar with what Jesus has done in your life? You may say, Josh, my story. I don't have this amazing, this great testimony. No, friend, if Jesus is in it, that's where the power is. You don't need to have, I love Pastor Steve shared this on Friday night at youth camp. You don't need to have this crazy story about how God rescued you. At the end of the day, it's crazy, no matter who you are, how God rescued us. The last couple of years, I found myself being timid about sharing my story. Not with church people, I'm talking about anybody else. And I realized it's because I didn't have this crazy story. I was ran from God and began drug dealing on Mars. And God rescued me. If that's your story, that's awesome. I realized if Jesus is in it, that's where the power is. And I made the decision. I'm going to share my story with passion, because we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So if you ask me, it's not a crazy story, but I grew up in church. I love Jesus and I love his church, but I was an insecure, broken pastor's kid that realized I was a sinner that needed saving from my Savior. And I was 17 years old and I encountered the presence of God that changed me forever. I heard from him that I was called to preach the gospel. It's what I tell people, and I tell it with passion. So the Bible says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. That's kind of how I feel about my life, because I encountered the presence of Jesus. And I get to serve at Wave Church. I still can't believe that I get to be a pastor at Wave Church. I never get used to the fact that I get to work in this building. And I love building the church. You know what? You should come with me. Because the same God that spoke to me is the same God that'll speak to you.
Come on, Josh.
I wonder, friend, do you have passion in sharing your story? If you have lost your passion and your story, the answer is very simple. It's time to go over his story again. I love what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. It's one of my favorite verses. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Something so simple, but something we make so complicated. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Now watch this. This is it. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, when you find yourself and you've lost your passion, you've lost your wow, when you find yourself and you've lost the passion for sharing what Jesus has done in your life, look at the Bible says, go over that story again, item by item. It says go over it again and again and again until you get that passion back. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline, that will shoot passion, that will shoot wow into your soul. Go over that story of a God who bankrupted heaven and sent his son Jesus, who gave up his crown and his throne and became the status of a human being and took your place and took my place on the cross and rose. And arose from the grave. He received a crown of thorns into his skull. He was beaten beyond the point of recognition as a human being for you and for me. And he hung up on that cross and suffocated on that cross and died on that cross for you and for me. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave, defeating the devil, defeating sin, defeating who we used to be, so that you and I, could have a relationship with him. Friend, have you lost your wow? Go over that story again and again and again. Remind yourself how amazing this God is. What am I trying to say tonight is the band can come on back. It's time to get our passion back. Maybe you're here tonight and you're passionate. I believe there's more. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like me, and there has been many times in my life where I've become so overfamiliar with his presence in the church that I have found myself in the place where I've become indifferent to who Jesus is, to the church that we believe is the hope of the world. My prayer is that this ministry of young adults, this service, the six, that we would never become over familiar with his presence. There'd be such a spirit of honor in this place that God knew every Sunday night that we met, the door was wide open for him to move. May we never become over familiar, Jesus, with who you are, with your presence, with your word, with worship, with your church, with who you are. May we be a place, passion. What I love about passion is it's proven in persecution. There have been times in my Christian walk where it has been passion that has kept me here. You're gonna get offended. Not gonna agree with things. The prayer that you so desperately prayed isn't always gonna happen the way that you thought it would. God, I'm too passionate. Zeal for your house so consumes me. God, I couldn't go anywhere else but remain planted in your house. What I love about being in the presence of God and the more time that I spend in his presence is the more passionate that I become for people. And my prayer for our church, Pastor Paul DeYoung, I've said this multiple times, prophesied that we would see in these next 5 years unprecedented things, greater things than we saw in the first 20 of Wave Church. And I believe a huge part of that is going to be through what God does in this place. The kind of passion where we are uncomfortable coming to church alone. We are uncomfortable with getting through our week without ever sharing a story once. Friend, I know the day is coming where we will not fit in this building. But it doesn't happen with passionless Christians. It happens with a community of people. We are so in awe, and we're so in wonder of who Jesus is. Oh man, the least that we could do is sing at a camp all week and sing on Sunday morning and lose our voice and sing some more on Sunday night. Because I'm just so passionate. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this place, and I'm talking to Christians really quickly, if you're being honest with yourself, and friend, I've been here so many times, the Holy Spirit has outrageously challenged me in even being able to preach this message. So what I'm about to ask you, I have my hand raised with you. If you're in this place and you've just lost your passion, you've lost the wow, the awe, and the wonder that you once had. You've lost your passion for sharing your story. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in this place, could you be honest, real bold, real quick, and lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit of God is going to invade this place. There's many hands going up. Don't miss this moment. The Holy Spirit is about to invade this room. Jesus, I thank you for every hand that is raised. Right now, we put our eyes back on you. God, we honor you. We thank you for who you are and what you have done for us. God, that you saved us, that you rescued us, that you've called us with a plan and a purpose. God, we go over the story again. Jesus, we remind ourselves that you saved us, that you rescued us to be in relationship with you. Holy Spirit, there you are. And God, give us passion again, a fire again. A wow and an awe and a wonder of who you are. And God, maybe more important than this prayer, I pray that we choose to spend time in your presence this week more than we ever have before. We choose to honor you with our time and seeking you God, that we leave this place with passion again. And everybody said, really quickly before we finish, we got 2 minutes before we head out to the after party. Somebody's gonna win AirPods. Thank you to Wave Leadership College. If you're in this place, I'm gonna be quick. I'm not gonna rush it, but I'll be quick. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know this Jesus I speak of, you don't know what it is to encounter this Heavenly Father who gave everything for you. The question I'm asking tonight is, do you know that you're a Christian? Do you know that your eternity is in heaven with Him? Friend, do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? I'm not asking you, do you believe in God? The devil believes in God. I'm asking, have you surrendered your life to Him? In a moment, I'm gonna count to three. And if that's you, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're a Christian in this place, I want you to begin to pray with passion. I found one of the greatest indicators for where my passion level is how I pray during an altar call. Let's pray with some passion. If you're in this place tonight, you say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm done trying to live this life on my own. I want to know what it is to be forgiven of my sins. I want to know what it is to spend eternity in heaven. I want to know what it is to discover the plan and purpose for my life. I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. One, say, Josh, that's me. Somebody online has already made a decision. Say, Josh, that's me. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Two, there's a hand right there. Two, if you're in this place and if you're being honest with yourself, you're backslidden, you've walked away from God. There's another hand right there. You've walked away from God. You have so lost your passion. You have so become indifferent, so overfamiliar. You can't even remember the last time you had passion to share your story for who Jesus is. Friend, come back home. Find your passion again. God is not mad. God is not angry. His arms are wide open saying, welcome home again. Three, if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see. There's another hand right there. Anybody else in this place? Say, Josh, that's me. Anybody else? If I've seen it, you can put it down. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Your heart may be beating, your stomach may be turning. Friend, that's not me, that's not the music, it's the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart. Friend, don't leave this place without giving your life to Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Anybody else? I'm gonna wait just 20 more seconds. Come on, church, let's pray. Friend, don't leave this place. You may think, Josh, you don't know the things that I've done. Friend, you're right, I don't. But I know the Savior who has already forgiven it. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand. I want to give your life to Jesus. Anybody else? I'm just going to wait a moment longer. Anybody else? Amen and amen. Can we lift our heads together? Can we give a huge shout of praise for every single person? We're out of time. I'm going to pray for you in your seat. One of the things I don't want to lose in this moment of this service is people responding, coming to the altar. But I want to pray for you right where you're seated. And I say that after we pray, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're watching online, you can do this on the church website. I want to encourage you to fill out a connection card and let us know who you are. Friend, if you're serious about this decision, you cannot do it by yourself. You need the church. You need friends, you need community around you. I would encourage you, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but in your heart, you know that you did. Take the time to fill out that connection card. Let us know who you are. We're just gonna reach out to you one time. We wanna let you know what your next step is. We wanna come alongside you and walk this Christian life with you. We're gonna say this prayer tonight that changes everything. It may not change everything out there, but it changes everything in here where it matters. Come on, let's say this prayer together. Say Jesus. Come on, say it with some passion. Say Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Forgiving me of my sin, raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm gonna live for you. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.